Okay, item five, discussion and possible action on approval for contract for repairs in Marsh Shepherd Dam. Tiffany Morgan.
Hi, if we can go ahead and move to the first slide, please. This is a continuation of a project I've been up here several times before, which is mainly working on the recommended repairs that came out of our 2003 Fort Clark 12 inspection. This work will focus on repair of damaged concrete on the dam and on the powerhouse, repairing some significant cracks, and then hopefully waterproofing the structure to give us a much longer run here on our concrete than what we've experienced so far. The main items we're going to work on are the sealing basin, powerhouse walls, the penstock area, and the bunker strips. This is included in the FY07 budget for $2.04 million. Next slide. I just included some of the pictures to show you some of the issues we're dealing with. This is the sealing basin. If you can see those lines running across there, that's exposed rebar. And so that's one of the things we'll be fixing. We want to make sure that our substructure remains with good integrity, and we're going to basically cover that back up and hopefully keep that where our rebar doesn't erode away in the highly corrosive environment that it's in. Next slide. This is a similar picture on the side of the powerhouse. Large cracks down the side, and there's much exposed rebar. And this occurs in places all around the powerhouse. It's not just that one crack that's unique. So we're going to be doing repairs on all sides of the powerhouse. Next slide. And then this is one of our buttress areas where concrete has slowly over time eroded away and cracked, and we're going to fill those cracks, refinish that surface, and then hopefully waterproof the areas. I did not have a good picture of the penstocks. They're in a somewhat awkward area to get at. We just didn't have a real good picture to show you, but it's similar to some of these others, just some old, damaged, delaminated concrete. Next slide. Our bid ranges, we had eight bids on this project. They range from $984,000 up to $2.4 million. It's a pretty good spread, so we took some real intense looks at our low bidder, which was Westec Industries. The process we used to qualify them and make sure that they were going to be good contractors and that their bid, even though it was low, was the our technical services engineers called, and actually they called five previous jobs. All gave them good references. A couple of them said the same thing that we were feeling, that they were the low bidder and they were a little bit nervous by how low they were. But they did the job well, and they brought it in for the amount that they bid the project at. And I do want to mention the next closest bid is $14,000 greater than that. So we had a pretty good and unusual spread. We had two real close on the low end, about four in the middle, and then two very high bids. Also, our design engineers in the specification wrote some extensive and pretty unusual qualification requirements. Those are not things that are usually put in a bid that they have to submit and basically qualify their staff, qualify the projects they're going to use. Our design engineers reviewed all of their qualifications that they submitted, said they were as well qualified as anybody else. All their staff had the appropriate training when mandated. Everyone had at least 5 years of experience. So we couldn't find any real reason to disqualify the low bidder, and we're pretty confident that they can do the job for the amount they bid. Next slide. Our project schedule, if the board approves our recommendation, is to have the contract awarded by August 31st. And then we hope to have this work completed by June 30th of 07. Next slide. Final is our resolution. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Is the job fully bonded and warranted?
It will be, yes. John, do you want to add to that?
In addition, there's generally a 1 year bond. Now, this one will require performance bond of 2 years.
That's short.
Yeah, yes, sir.
When you say that the rebar was exposed, what's the depth of the rebar under the concrete? I mean, it exposed.
It's supposed to be.
Usually it's a minimum of 2-inch cover, you know.
Pretty thick.
I mean, how do you get concrete a little skinny?
What was the question, sir?
Well, she said the rebar was exposed. I'm saying, what's the depth, the typical depth of the rebar under the...
Usually about 3 inches.
But in
that station, we had... a geometry problem, really, where the thing curved from side to side and up and down, and really the rebar didn't get embedded enough. and we're going to take out the concrete down an inch under the rebar, clean up the rebar, and we'll put the repair mortars where we'll have a full 2 inches of cover over it. So it should be serviceable after that. That hadn't been in there except since 93. That was right.
And when you see cracks, like one of the photographs showed, is there a process by which you could see whether it's just a surface crack or whether it goes all the way through, or, you know, like...
most of them go down just to the rebar. What's happened on the firehouse is the construction joints, so the place where one pour goes to the next pour, the joint there, water gets in there, and the rebar corrodes behind it. And steel, the rust, if you would, can expand up to four times. In other words, you have a 16th of an inch of deterioration in your rebar, you can get a quarter inch of that, and just like freezing water in pipes, it'll pop the concrete off. We've got a big area on the east side of it that still looks good, but you go tap it and it's delaminated. There's just really kind of a fault plane all the way across there. And the contractor will go out there and hammer on it and find all those and remove that and do the repair.
So part of the contract is to examine those kinds of cracks to make sure they're not something
yes,
worse than
yes, they'll all be checked.
You want to be covering up the flaw.
Yes, sir. And we'll have on-site inspector there all the time.
Do we have some kind of reason to believe that this is going to last a certain number of years, or it's probably not a fix forever, but what kind of length of span would be reasonable to expect from the repair?
I don't know if I can really answer that. We hope that we'll all be good and we'll get another 65 years out of it. We're going to waterproof it all when we get done, which wasn't done in the original job, which we hope might help us. And we think by having the 2-year warranty period, we're hoping that if there is anything that is bad, it'll show up in the first 2 years.
I have a question. You mentioned your last comment. We will have on-site inspectors.
Yes, sir.
Whose employees are those?
They're BRA employees.
Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
In your investigation of this company, did anyone ever do a background check on the public records to see if they've ever been involved in any litigation?
Not that
no,
I'm aware of.
No, that might not be a bad thing to do.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
What was your question about the company or the people inside the company? Well, we do routine background investigations on any of the contractors that have access to the critical infrastructure.
The company itself is the most important. However, if it is a company that's owned by a few individuals, it would be good to check the records also on them. Some of these people go around setting up companies from year to year,
mm-hmm.
and going out of business and then setting up another company.
This company's been in business since 1995, and most of these employees that they qualified have been with the company since that time, about half of them.
Good. Well, they're probably all right, but it sure doesn't hurt to check, and it's easy to do.
We're looking. We think that's part of our bid process that they have to clear that hurdle, but we're looking in there, John, to make sure that I think that happens.
Yeah,
but I can't
certainly.
Did you say that we had previous contracts with this company, or did I miss
something? No, we have not. This company's from Oklahoma, and they, I guess, recently set up an Austin office, and they did a big job for San Antonio Municipal Airport on a parking garage down there, about a $900,000 job. I talked with the Carter and Burgess project engineer on that. They're well satisfied with the job, and he with all the employees that were there doing the work.
Do you need to call a motion first and read the resolution? feel we need to call the motion first, or we'll go ahead and read the resolution?
We'll read the resolution.
Okay.
Be it hereby resolved that the Asset Management Committee recommends to the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority adoption of the following proposed resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to enter into a contract with Rushdeck Incorporated for $984,997.50, based upon recommendations of the Brazos River Authority's consulting engineers, Jasper Quinton and Dallas LLP, for the Moore Shepherd Dam rehabilitation of concrete on the powerhouse walls, stilling basin, buttresses, and around the pin stocks as described in the contract document dated March 2006, and be it further resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority that the General Manager, CEO, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to complete the improvements with all costs to be paid from previously and subsequently authorized Possum Kingdom Capital Improvement Funds.
Do you hear a motion for approval?
I move the resolution be approved as presented.
I second. Call the roll.
Director Carrabba?
Yes.
Director Blum?
Yes.
Director DeClue?
Yes.
Director Pena?
Yes.
Director Dallion?
Yes.